Well, let's seek God again in prayer and ask for his presence and his blessing upon the study of his word. Lord, our God, we draw near to you once again, and we thank you for this privilege to gather together in order to hear your word. And even as we have just sung, we pray that you would send your Spirit, that he would, as it were, touch our spiritual eyes, that we would see and understand vital truth from your word. We pray that you would give us eyes spiritually to see and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask for your Holy Spirit then to come in gracious power upon every single heart in this auditorium and upon me as I speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll turn in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 1. Pastor Khan read, as you well know, the first up to verse 39 in Mark chapter 1, and I shall begin reading at verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there comes to him, the Lord Jesus, and there comes to him a leper, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If you will, you can make me clean. And being moved with compassion, he stretched forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou made clean. And there we will end our reading. Now I shall read verse 42 as well. And straightway the leprosy departed from him, and he was made clean. That will be our passage this evening, verses 40 through 42 of Mark chapter 1. I would like you to see three things from this passage. First of all, the leper. That's clear enough in the passage. Secondly, the Lord here in this passage. And thirdly, the liberation. So three L's to help you remember. The leper, the Lord, and the liberation. So first of all, let's consider what this passage shows us and what we can learn from it concerning the leper. First of all, his condition before the Lord Jesus Christ. This unnamed man was a leper. In the Old Testament, leprosy referred to a variety of infectious skin diseases, both serious and superficial, as well as to mold and mildew on clothing and walls. The word leprosy and its related terms occurs 55 times in the Old Testament and 13 times in the New Testament. We now know that the leprosy which affects people is caused by a bacterium which attacks the nervous system of the body. Symptoms are first manifested in the skin and the peripheral nervous system of the human body and then spread to other parts of the body, such as the hands, feet, and face. People with leprosy experienced disfigurement of the skin, bones, and face, the collapsing of the nose structure, the twisting of limbs, and the curling of the fingers to form a characteristic claw-like hand. Tumor-like growths, called lepromas, form on the skin and in the respiratory tract, and the optic nerves of the eyes usually deteriorate, leading to loss of sight or even blindness. As nerves are damaged in the body by this leprosy, A loss of pain sensation occurs throughout the body, and further deformities develop due to this extensive nerve damage and the inability to sense pain. Lepers can have their hands placed in boiling water and not feel anything because of the nerve damage. The damaged flesh of the leper leads to infections which are usually not sensed, which get worse, and they're not usually healed. And consequently, the flesh of the leper decays, it putrefies, and it smells very badly. Leprosy itself does not kill an individual, for which one could perhaps be very thankful. However, as it progresses over the course of years, the leper often despairs as one whose body continues to degenerate and deform over the course of years. Abhorred and shunned by people, certainly in Bible times, including by loved ones, the leper merely exists as one who is like the walking dead. Leprosy is spread by multiple skin contacts, as well as by droplets from the upper respiratory tracts, such as nasal secretions, transmitted from person to person. And consequently, lepers were physically isolated from others in order to prevent its spread. In Leviticus 13, in verses 45 to 46, we have clear instructions given to us by God, instructions giving directions to lepers regarding where they were to live and how they were to announce their approach to anyone who was not a leper. In that portion, I'll read it, you don't need to turn there, Leviticus 13, verse 45 to 46, we read this, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and the hair of his head shall go loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' All the days wherein the plague is in him, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his dwelling be." End quote. The disease of leprosy thus made any individual who had it a social outcast as well as a religious outcast, unable to participate in family worship, synagogue worship, or temple worship. The leper was excluded from participation in any of the Jewish feasts, such as the Passover. So in summary, every aspect of the leper's life, his spiritual, intellectual, emotional, social, and physical life, every aspect of the leper's life was negatively and pervasively impacted by this dread disease of leprosy. So that is the condition of this man that we read of here in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and following. But now let us consider not only his condition, but his coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notwithstanding the realities of his walking death, which could immediately be seen by all, as well as the requirements of Leviticus 13, which I've just read to you, this leper sought the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not told how he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the Mark 1 passage that Pastor Khan has already read, there is a statement there in Mark 1 which tells us that the news about Jesus Christ was being spread throughout all of Galilee and Judea. And so it would seem that this leper, though isolated, had heard reports about Jesus and his power to heal. And that news indeed encouraged this particular leper. So notice from the passage, the leper comes beseeching the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not told whether or not the leper called out, unclean, unclean, as Leviticus 13 commanded. He might have done so, but the passage does not tell us whether he did that or not. We're not sure whether he did that as he approached the Lord. But we are told that he came to the Lord beseeching him. He was imploring. He was begging him for mercy. This was not a casual request of a stranger asking for directions. This was not a disinterested inquiry about the state of the weather. No, this leper was in earnest in his heart and soul because he was a leper. And he was earnestly begging as he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, secondly, in his coming, not only beseeching the Lord, the leper comes kneeling before the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not come just strolling up to the Lord, wanting to slap him upon the back. He didn't come up to him standing eye to eye and toe to toe in order to speak to him. No, once in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps even some distance from the Lord, the leper fell down upon his knees. And kneeling down to the Lord, he began to beg him for help. The leper understood that the posture of his body in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a matter of insignificance or indifference. Whatever the leper's present understanding was about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he was, he clearly understood enough to know that he should be humbled before this great one, the Lord Jesus Christ, in every respect. The leper, you see, had nothing to give to the Lord Jesus. He had nothing of which to boast. He came as a very needy, helpless beggar. But notice, thirdly, in his coming to the Lord, the leper speaks to the Lord Jesus. Surely, because of his physical appearance as a leper, the leper did not really need to speak to the Lord and tell him what his need was, did he? I mean, shouldn't it have been as plain as the noonday sun what his problem was when he came into the presence of Jesus and knelt down before him? But nevertheless, the leper communicates and lays out his desire. That's the sense of the original language. He lays out his desire to the Lord Jesus Christ with very few words, with very direct words, with very plain words. And note that the leper actually did not make a request of the Lord Jesus, at least not explicitly. He simply states a fact that he believes that the Lord is able to cleanse him of his leprosy. In the original language, he literally stated, "You are able me to cleanse. You are able me to cleanse." There was no doubt in the mind of the leper that the Lord Jesus could cleanse him thoroughly. It's also worth noting from the passage that immediately before stating his confidence in the Lord's ability to cleanse him, the leper stated, "If you will, you can make me clean." And with this simple statement, did the leper question the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse him of his leprosy? In other words, though the Lord is able to cleanse, and he clearly believed that, perhaps the leper wondered whether or not the Lord would choose to cleanse him. Was he willing? Or perhaps this was an acknowledgement by the leper that the Lord before him was not under any obligation whatsoever to cleanse him. The Lord, he understood, was a sovereign. A sovereign who could do as he pleased. If the Lord chose not to cleanse him of his leprosy, he, the leper, would have no justifiable complaint for such a refusal, because it was not owed to him as a leper. And perhaps, this is speculation on my part, we don't know, perhaps this leper, knowing Scripture, remembered from the Scriptures the situation in the days of Elisha, the prophet, which the Lord Jesus actually refers to later in his ministry. And there we read the Lord's words on that particular occasion later on. The Lord Jesus said, "And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only one, Naaman the Syrian." So it could be that this leper knew the Scriptures and knew, you see, many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha, but only one was cleansed. Perhaps it was that he really understood that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the sovereign, was not under any obligation to cleanse him. And therefore he said, "If you will, you can make me clean." So that's the leper here in this passage. But now let's turn our attention to the Lord in this passage. Notice with me, first of all, in verse 41 of Mark chapter 1, the Lord's disposition toward this leper. His disposition toward this leper. We're told that the Lord was moved with compassion. In the original Greek, the meaning is that Jesus yearned in his bowels with sympathy, with pity, with compassion for this leprous man. Many of you know that is the way the Bible uses these words. It's in the bowels, it's in the abdomen that this compassion issues forth. You see, this man, in his tragic condition and desperate need, this man, with his simple, artless words that he brought to Jesus Christ, stirred the holy emotions of the Lord Jesus in the deepest recesses of the Lord's very being and soul. You see, this was what we would call a truly gut-wrenching scene. This was not a Hollywood production. This was not something you see on Netflix or any such thing. This was reality. It was a gut-wrenching scene before the Lord's eyes and soul, and it stirred him up with compassion for this leper. So that was his disposition. But notice, secondly, from verse 41, the Lord's actions upon this leper. Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus stretched out his hand and touched this leper. This touch was not a quick, light, superficial touch like this. Like when you touch something that's hot, you don't know it's hot, but you go to touch something that's hot, very hot, you spring back. No, that's not what the Lord did. That's not the meaning of the text. The meaning of the word is that the Lord stretched forth and, as it were, attached his hand to the leper. Of course, not a permanent attachment. We're not told where he touched the leper, but since the leper was kneeling before him, one would think that he took his hand and perhaps laid it upon the head of the leper as he was kneeling before the Lord. And this was, of course, something that no one dared to do. No one wanted to do it, for to do so made a Jew ceremonially unclean, and then removed him from the privileges of worship and society for a season of time. In addition, such a touch could, of course, transfer the dreaded disease of leprosy. But notice, the Lord Jesus Christ was not thinking about himself. He did not live for himself. He lived for his God and Father. He did not only live for his God and Father, he lived to serve. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And on this very occasion, you see, he was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of this needy man before him, this leper. By miraculously cleansing this leper, the Lord was declaring to the world that he was indeed the promised Messiah who fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah, even as the Lord stated on another occasion. We read of it in Matthew 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, the disciples of John the Baptist, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed." You see, that was a mark of the Messiah, that he would cleanse lepers. So these actions of the Lord visually proclaim to the leper and to everyone standing by that he, Jesus, was willing to be identified with sinners in all of their filth, in all of their need, in all of their helplessness, in all of their tragedy. And that he, Jesus, was indeed the one who could and would take away not only their diseases, but their iniquities as the Messiah. So his actions upon the leper. But notice thirdly, in verse 41, the Lord's words to the leper, his disposition toward the leper, his actions upon the leper, his words to the leper in verse 41. The Lord Jesus now spoke as succinctly to the leper as the leper had spoken to him. With divine authority as the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ announced to the leper, "I will, be thou made clean." With his words, the Lord removed any and all doubts, any and all concerns, any and all fears that were in the mind and the heart of this leprous man. With his words, the Lord proclaimed the reality of his sovereign grace and power, which he freely poured out upon undeserving sinners, including this one kneeling before him. So those were his words, "I will, be thou made clean." But now let's notice the liberation in our passage, verse 42 in Mark chapter 1. The liberation. Notice from verse 42, first of all, this liberation was immediate. Some Bible translations in Mark's gospel use the word immediate. As Pastor Khan was reading the chapter, that word came up at least several times. Some translations use the word straightway. So straightway, or immediately, the leprosy departed from him. The leper didn't need to go away and pray by himself for a week in order to receive cleansing and healing and deliverance. No, nothing like that at all. Straightway, immediately, the leprosy departed from him. He did not need to wait 1 millisecond for that healing and that transformation, because the Almighty Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke, and liberation from leprosy and all of its effects and consequences was instantaneous. But notice also from verse 42, this liberation was not only immediate, it was complete. His liberation from leprosy was complete. Mark tells us very simply, almost as though it were an afterthought on his part, and he was made clean. It's almost as though it's an afterthought on the gospel writer's part, and he was made clean. No doubt the leper's clothing still needed to be changed. But if you were there on that occasion, and if you had examined his body after the instantaneous cleansing, if you examined his body from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, you would not have found one deformity. You would not have found one abnormal growth or tumor. You would not have found one lesion bleeding and oozing on his flesh. You would have not found any discoloration of his skin. And no longer was there the smell of decaying, rotting flesh. Instead, kneeling before the Lord Jesus Christ was a transformed man with skin, face, limbs, hands, eyes, coloring and hair as healthy as a man who had never contracted one sickness or one disease throughout the course of his entire life. The morning sun rose upon this leper, a miserable being, more dead than alive. His whole frame, a mass of sores and corruption. His very existence a burden. Those are the words of J.C. Ryle concerning this man. And the evening sun saw the same man full of hope and joy, free from pain, and fit for the society of his fellow men. Surely the change must have been life, like life from the dead, for that is indeed what it was for this man. So, brethren, what we've seen from this passage is the leper, the Lord, the liberation. And now we have a couple of lessons. So, in the Bible, leprosy is a sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. A sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. Like leprosy, sin manifests itself initially in relatively small ways, but then spreads, leading to other sins. Now, I don't mean by that statement that when someone is conceived in the womb of his mother, born into this world, that sin is only in little parts of his body. I don't mean that. We are born, conceived in sin, born as sinners. We are totally depraved. In union with Adam and in ourselves, we're not as bad as we could be because of God's common grace. So I don't mean that. But when you look, generally speaking, at the life of a young child versus the life of an older man, both of whom are unconverted, you usually will see that the older man is far more twisted by sin because he has lived already many more years in this world, in his sin. So leprosy manifests itself initially in small ways, but it spreads. And dear children, you need to remember this. Teenagers, adults, all of us, we should never, never think that sin, which is little in our estimation, is no big deal. A lie to your mother, a lie to your teacher, a lie to your friend, a lie to your husband, just a little thing. No, it's not a little thing. It's a big thing in the eyes of God. But the point is, like leprosy, sin manifests itself initially in relatively small ways, but then it spreads, if not repented of, leading to other sins. And like leprosy, sin is ugly. Nobody would be taking photographs of lepers and putting them on the cover of a magazine for all to see. They were hideously ugly. And sin, like leprosy, when seen correctly, is ugly, loathsome. It is also incurable, and it's contaminating. And like leprosy, sin causes great damage in lives. It disrupts relationships with other people. And most importantly, sin brings separation and isolation from God. According to Leviticus 13, the garments which clothed a leper were only fit to be burned in fire. And those who die clothed in their sins and not clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ will be burned, but not in an earthly fire, but in an unquenchable fire forever because of their sins. And yet, there are differences between lepers and lost sinners. All lepers, like this one in Mark 1, they longed to be rid of their leprosy. Their leprosy was a grief and a burden to them. But in contrast, lost sinners, not yet convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sins, earnestly cling to their filthy sins. And their sins are usually a delight and no burden to them at all. All lepers do not want to die as lepers, but lost sinners do not care if they die as a sinner. They think it doesn't matter. I will die and be nothing, or I will die and really I will go to heaven anyway because God is kind. You see, there are differences between lepers and lost sinners. These differences simply underscore that although leprosy is a vivid and graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin, it still falls far short of the reality of the evil of sin. Sin is evil. Sin is wicked. Sin is defiling. Sin brings judgment and damnation. Because sin is, first of all, a breaking of God's holy law and offense against God the Creator and God the Ruler. Well, those are some lessons we should learn from this passage. Leprosy is a sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. But a second lesson is this: the Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious and almighty Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious and almighty Savior of sinners. In the instantaneous healing of this leper, we must all understand that nothing is too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. With Christ, nothing is impossible. In the instantaneous healing of this leper, we must also understand that the Lord Jesus Christ delights to be gracious to helpless, hopeless, and undeserving sinners. That's what this man was. His case was hopeless. He was helpless. He was undeserving of anything. But we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ delights to be gracious to just such sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to deliver from the malady of every sin, which is far greater evil than leprosy, cancer, or COVID-19. No sin is so deeply rooted in your heart, in your life, that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot extricate it from you, pardon you of it, cleanse you from it, deliver you from its power. Dear Christian, do you believe that? that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you say you believe in and trust, he is indeed gracious and omnipotent and able to root out of your heart and life even the most deeply rooted, aggravated sin. He is. He is. The worst of sinful spiritual lepers can be cleansed and forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood shed on the cross of Calvary. But like this leper in Mark chapter 1, everyone here, if you are to receive such mercies and blessings from the Lord Jesus Christ, like this leper in Mark chapter 1, you must first see the truth about yourself spiritually. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that seeks after God, no, not one. There is no one righteous, no, not one. If you are to receive mercy from Jesus Christ, the living Savior, you must, like this leper in Mark 1, first see the truth about yourself spiritually, that you are a creature, that you are a sinner, that you have many sins, that you're guilty before God, that you're on the broad road if you do not repent of your sins and trust in Christ, the broad road that leads to eternal destruction. You must see the truth about yourself, like this leper saw about himself. And then you must do what the leper in Mark chapter 1 did. What did he do? He went to Jesus Christ. You must go, whether you are a young person or an old person, whether you are an unconverted sinner right now or whether you are a Christian, a real Christian, you must go to Jesus Christ. But speaking specifically to those who are presently not Christians, again, whether young or old, you must not only understand the truth about yourself and your sins, you must believe who Jesus Christ is as the Savior of sinners. And like this leper in Mark 1, you must go to him just as you are, with all of your guilt, with all of your filth, with all of your sins. You go to him just as you are. You see, that's what this leper did. He didn't first go to some river and try to wash himself up, change his clothes, buy some new clothes, fix his hair, try to get rid of all of the various deformities by covering them over with some clothing or using some sort of ointments. He didn't do any of that. He didn't first fix himself up. He went as he was, straight to Jesus Christ. And that is what you are to do even this very night. Go to Jesus Christ just as you are, with all of your filthy sins, with all of your moral stench. And if you go to him, cry out for mercy and forgiveness for your sins, he will freely, graciously pardon you instantaneously. He will give a complete cleansing. He will give complete forgiveness. He will deliver you from your sins. Go to Jesus Christ tonight as you are and receive mercy. Well, may God help us all to that end. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that even in the morning sermon, we were reminded that you are seated in glory at the right hand of God the Father. And we come into your holy presence, your gracious presence, and ask that you would come, O God, and remove hearts of stone and rebellion from every single individual in this auditorium, that you would have mercy upon spiritual lepers this very night, that you would draw them to yourself, that you would indeed show them the truth about themselves. Lord our God, come and have mercy upon sinners in this very auditorium tonight. And for your believing people who at times do not come as boldly as they should because of guilt, guilt because of sin, sin committed as believers, Lord, come to your people this night by your Spirit and your word and encourage them to come straight to you even now for fresh cleansing and forgiveness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for these mercies, pleading his merits and his blood. Amen.